Radio, a broadcast that is centered around news and views, Bible Q&A, and special guests. Now get ready, because it's time to scramble those eggs, brew that coffee, and open that Bible, and let's jump into Mornings with Box 2 Radio.
Welcome in on this beautiful May the 24th, 2024, Friday afternoon, or Friday morning this morning. We have our last day of school here at Bethel Christian Academy today, as well as our graduation for our two seniors tonight. So excited for them to be able to get in there. I think there's some other schools. I'm thinking maybe Grayson County's graduations tonight as well. And so congratulations to our graduates there. Miss Kamen's going to be graduating today, correct? Yes. How exciting times for her and new seasons there. And so just excited for all of our graduates. I'm excited. We honor them from Bethel Christian Academy and honor them from the Grayson County as well. And Sunday morning, we'll probably be doing some recognition to our seniors at church just to pray over them and cover them in the covering of the church. And so it's just exciting times in the lives of seniors as they embark on this new journey and all these exciting unknown times, but yet it is just an amazing opportunity to grow in the grace of God and to see God's glory at work. So congratulations to all the seniors out there that's going to be graduating. We're praying for you and pray many blessings upon you, and may you know him and the power of his resurrection. Miss Hannah, how are you doing this morning?
Doing good.
I guess it would help if I had your volume up. I don't know why it's down.
I couldn't hear my voice. I was like, maybe I don't have a voice this morning.
All the mics are gone. They were all down, so I don't know what happened.
Maybe there was a baby in there or something. Not on my watch. No, I'm just kidding.
Ivy was in here because I worked till about 9 o'clock last night, and but I don't think she did this.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm good. We had an awesome time of the Arise meeting yesterday with ladies. We've been reading that Power of a Praying Wife book, and that book is just, I would 10 out of 10 recommend that book to anyone who is looking to be married, is married, struggling in their marriage, whatever it is. It's just really good book. But we had a good time together, and it's always a good time with Sia and Miss Heather Hodges and all the other ladies. Miss Tabitha, Heather Wilson. There's just so many ladies that are in there that are different generations. There's really seasoned and then younger and younger. And there's even a few babies in there. So it was just a great time in the Lord and his presence. And we worshiped and got out the flags. We were flagging in the parking lot. cars probably didn't know what to think when they were driving by, but we didn't care. We were just praising the Lord. So it was just a good night. So that's what's fresh on my mind. Looking forward to what God does in people's lives, and not just the ones in the group, but, you know, in this group, we're praying for husbands. We're praying for the men of God too. So just excited to see what the Lord's going to do. And glad that we have these groups starting back up. And also, this group is open to, it's not just exclusive to Bethel ladies. We actually have several ladies that are not from Bethel. There was a new lady last night I'd never met before. I think somebody brought a friend with them. So it's just pretty cool to be able to connect with people that you never normally would. But I love to see the body gathering together and different churches coming together and uniting for things like this. So
it's a good time. Amen. Well, we got a lot of announcements going on here, a lot of tent meetings coming up. I'm still eager for people's VBS announcements. We haven't got any yet. So I know we got VBSs going on in the community, so get us yours out there. Ours is starting July the 23rd, Tuesday through Saturday. May the 30th, Brother Whitney Ward's and the Miracle Tent Revival is starting there in Eastview, followed up by I Am Tent Revival June 3rd through June 9th. It's going to be there in Eastview as well at a different location. Zachary Capps will have a tent revival in Litchfield, Kentucky. That's June the 4th through June the 15th. And then Guy Penrod's going to be at the East Market Street, right there on the square. That is June the 7th, and that's going to begin at 6 o'clock p.m. Free admission. Everybody's welcome. And then Heritage Messengers is going to be in concert at Memorial Chapel, Church of God. And that is 6 o'clock p.m. Pastor Mike Biggs. For more information, you can contact 270-418-9275. So plenty to do in the next couple of weeks coming up here, early June, late May. So, you know, I have no excuses not to go somewhere and be in the presence of the Lord, and just excited for all these meetings and tents meetings. And Penrod's going to be on East Main, East Market Street. I always get those. Is it East Market, right? Or East Main Market, or?
I have East Main, actually.
East Main?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's go with that then. I always forget what that is. Food trucks are going to be there. I like that.
It's like right there, close to First Baptist. It's not far from First Baptist, but it's on, like, I'm pretty sure it's on the street that's by the Jack Thomas house in Litchfield. So.
Yes. Yeah, it's they do a lot of concerts, and they usually it's just in the east side of the square. So there's a lot of things going on. I just can't remember what they call it all the time. East Market or East Main. I can't remember that. So I'm trying to get on to something. I was going to cover something. But
there is a West Market Street.
I don't think that's it. I think it's East something. I was going to look for an article I was going to cover real fast, but I don't remember where I saw it at. I should have marked it and had it. What I usually do is snapshot my screen so that I have it in the morning, but I found it the other day just looking at something. I was going to cover it, but.
Well, while you do that, I found this thing. I took a screenshot of it, and I liked it. It was about reading the Bible on Facebook. Let me find it. I was right there. Now I'm in the same boat as you. Oh, I found it. Okay. So three things to pray as we read God's word. Number one, prepare my heart to receive your word. Number two, change my heart to believe your word. And number three, humble my heart to obey your word. So I just like that. I thought that was good prayers going into reading the word. Because it is true that sometimes when we read the word, we don't always, sometimes we struggle to believe. Sometimes we do struggle with unbelief, even though we believe that, you know, the Lord is almighty. But sometimes the word, when we really are letting it be a mirror to us, we struggle with it. But change my heart to believe your word and humble my heart to obey it. So we're not just hearers, we are doers. Pastor Kevin Hay, don't know who that is, but that's who said it.
Well, I can't find the article that I was looking for, so, but if I find it, I'll cover it later. But it was interesting. There's this sports athlete that I liked the more details, and Ethan said it's called East Main.
Yeah, that's what
Market.
I have on the
East Main Market. See, I was close. I had all the words in there, just not in the right order. East Main Market.
Oh, it's East Main Market.
Yeah. But there was a professional athlete that gave a commencement speech not too long ago and gave some Christian principles in this speech, and now, like, half the world, it seems like, is coming against him. I mean,
are you talking about
the
Butker?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I wondered if we would talk about this.
Well, I was wanting the article to talk about this, so, because I'm not 100% sure what he said.
I've listened to the whole video.
And what's he say?
So, first of all, he is speaking to a Catholic audience.
Uh-huh.
So
I know that.
So, he's not addressing the whole world.
It's a commencement speech,
yes,
right?
Yes, it was a commencement speech. And second of all, he never addressed women saying that they can't be successful in careers or anything like that. He actually never said that. What he said was, he started, actually, before he said anything about women, he started tearing up and talking about his wife and how his wife, her one of what he would believe that she would agree and say is that being a mother and a wife is one of the greatest, I can't remember how he worded it, but basically one of the greatest blessings, one of the best accomplishment or task, the best basically job that she will ever have is being a mother. And and he was tearing up as he was saying this. But he did address the ladies that were there at the Catholic school at the graduation, and he said something about them being mothers and being wives. But he really didn't even stay on that very long. He was mainly talking about his own wife. So it's just blown up out of proportion, and he stated his own beliefs on that, and that is a biblical view of what he said, in my opinion, what he said. And he said a lot of other things that I think were biblical views on things. I'm not saying I agree with everything that he said, but he was basically just stating his own beliefs, and he was talking to an audience that most of them probably shared the same beliefs because it was a Catholic audience. So,
yeah, I'm kind of getting the highlights of his speech again.
He did make a reference, because if I'm not mistaken, he plays on the same team as Taylor Swift's boyfriend. So he did make a, you know how people put clever things in their speeches. I mean, that's normal for people to do in their commencement speeches. He put some reference to one of her songs and was saying, I think he did that to say, like, he doesn't agree with her standpoint on these things. Like his views are different than her views that she's trying to push on women and children, or women and young women. But he did not bash her or anything like that. He just made one reference to a song lyric. So, and he didn't even mention her name or his teammate's name. So, I didn't see anything wrong with the speech myself, but
it looks like Patrick Mahomes and them are standing by Harrison Butker after all these, but it kind of shows you a little bit too, and just where our world is as a nation, and it kind of speaks to and can contest to the philosophy and ideology that has shifted so much. But I think too, it's like the enemy has really tried to steal family out of the picture. And so if a woman is going to be more of a stay-at-home mom and mother, then somehow she is not fulfilling what she's called to do, and she's belittling herself. Like, that's the views of the world today. And it's not. Actually, the scripture speaks very highly of women who stay at home and be mothers. And and so, I mean, I know today's age, it's harder for one person to stay home. Like, it's a great sacrifice because of the financial surroundings of it. And especially as bad as we are, inflation right now, and as bad as our economy is. And I was reading one statistic the other day that, well, this woman showed pretty much the same food in 2020 in her Walmart pickup cart, and showed that same food in the other in 2024. And the 2020, I think, was like $300 something, and the 2024 was $700 something, and it's basically the same items.
Wow.
And so that just shows you how much more we're paying for food, and of course gas is getting almost back up to $4 again. And thank you, AOC, for telling us that if Trump wins presidency, that, you know, it's going to rise again. You know, she's going out there going crazy. It's the time of the year for the literacy of some statements being made. Because, again, this ain't about who to vote for or not. But we definitely know in 2020 that the gas prices were getting down to low $1 at times. And now, 4 years later, we're sitting here at, I think, the average in Kentucky is about 3.5. And in California, it's ridiculous. And they just released all these things of California. I think the median home price in California, which is like that medium average. What would you say it is, Hannah, to buy a house in California? The medium, not the high end. Just as low.
Oh, my. I don't know. I'm not good with these things, but I would say very high.
$900,000 for a house about like what you and Ethan live in.
Wow.
And so
I was thinking close to $1 million.
Yeah, it's chaos. And so we're seeing all these things display, and it's all just this reciprocal cycle to where we have so perverted society, and we've taken away family, we've taken away morals, we've taken away all these things, and we are at this place where we've allowed the state to dictate what we do, what we think, and how we do life. And so somebody comes out there even and brings an insinuation of something that breaks the status quo, everybody wants to flip out. Now, here's the deal. The minority is usually the loudest. The majority is the ones going about their life. And so I still think that 85% of America has no problem with what this guy said.
There's a lot of people that disagree with him that have posted and said, I mean, I'm pretty sure Whoopi Goldberg came out and she said, she's like, I don't agree with what he's saying, but he has a right to his belief. Yeah. And there's people who completely disagree with him, but are like, why are you guys freaking out so much?
If there's about five people on this earth that I would really have no care to hear what anything they say. And Whoopi Goldberg's one of those. If you've ever watched The View, you would understand what I'm talking
about.
No,
I'm not saying anything about her, but I saw that, you know, she has a complete opposite view of what this guy said, and even she was saying that.
Yeah.
You know, and there's multiple liberal people, like, you know, bigger name liberal people who have said, you know, this guy has a right to what he's saying, and so there's still people who are using common sense with this, but there's a lot of people who are, like, I saw a young girl, honestly, how I even saw anything about this was people my age getting upset about this and posting about it. And there was a young girl that I know that shared an article, and I don't even know if she did her research, but maybe she did, because she said something about his mom being a professor at that school or something, and how that was disrespectful to his mother to say that about his wife.
But what he said
doesn't make sense.
What he said is his wife, and he said, I'm sure all of you ladies are excited to be a wife and to have children.
Yes.
He said, I'm sure all of you are looking forward to that. He said, my wife's life, she would contest really to even begin till she became a wife and a mother.
Mm-hmm.
She's, and probably because he used the word vocation, but that is what his wife does.
Yeah.
She's a stay-at-home mom who takes care of the kids.
And so they claimed that that was disrespectful to his mother, and also that he doesn't view women as people. People like him, quote-unquote, do not view women as people. And I have no idea where that came from. Like, I do not. I don't know how what he said, you could get that out of that.
Well, when Alice Bailey made her 10-point plan to destroy Christian values in America, then the only way you do that is you have to destroy the nuclear family, the natural family, the mother, the father, how the Lord really instituted and created this. And when you do that, then you destroy the stability of the nation. And because the institution that God's created is this, our first institution that he created on the earth was family and marriage. Like, marriage is the first thing he instituted. Way before religion, way before the sacrificial system, way before anything, it was family, it was marriage he instituted first, because marriage reflects our relationship to him. And it's a shadow, and it creates, and it multiplies, and it fills the earth. And marriage, in my opinion, family is my relationship with the Lord is the number one thing, absolutely. But the next and most important institution in the world is family.
Mm-hmm.
Then the church, and then the government. All three of those institutions, they're actually very important. Like, we need the church absolutely 100% for fellowship, for iron sharpening iron, so the gospel's preached, so people are saved. And we need whether people like it or not, I do think there is some kind of government that we need in the world today to govern and to lead the people. And now, do I think we're a big government? Absolutely. I'm not a big government person. I like small government a lot more. I hate taxes. I think some of this stuff is absolutely ludicrous. But at the end of the day, I think the most important institution in the world today, because without it, nothing else works, is family.
I do too.
And that's why the enemy's trying to attack this so much.
Yeah. And any time that a man stands up and speaks a truth, it's even worse.
Yeah.
Because if it would have been a woman speaking that, I don't think that they would have got as much backlash.
Well, that goes back to the curse, though, because the curse was towards the woman, your hostility or your desire. Though I think the King James uses the word desire, but the word there in the Hebrew is your hostility is going to be against your husband, which basically this is where feminism is birthed.
Mm-hmm.
And see, I'm a person who I have some views on what scripture says about like men elders, but I definitely believe women are called to preach, prophesy, teach, do all these things. But I've made also no apologies, and I've kept no secrets about men elders. Like, I've been very open, and you've heard me teach enough. No, I'm pretty much a man, male elders, just from the scripture of 1 Timothy and Titus. But also, I think I've proven that I'm all for women teaching, preaching, 100% behind them, like 100%, because I think scripture affords that. And I think Aquila and Priscilla, a husband and wife, was teaching Apollos, and Apollos, even though most people don't know him as one of the 12 or the 13, of course, because he's not, he was also very instrumental.
Mm-hmm.
And so this husband and wife pulled him aside and said, hey, here's the better way. We see all throughout the New Testament where women are prophesying, women are praying, and Timothy's not in the place Timothy is without the faith of his grandmother. And so, like, we just see this over and over where women are so instrumental. But yet, anytime you get a rebellion to the natural law of how God ordained it, that's the part of the curse.
Mm-hmm.
Was that there's going to be hostility, and it was never about somebody being over somebody. It's all about we have different roles to play, but we're all created, we're created to be one. Mm-hmm. And we're created to walk in unison as a husband and wife, and to walk, and so there's just so much here that a lot of the church is afraid to teach because we're going to offend somebody, or somebody's going to cancel us, or somebody's going to say something. Just like this football player figured out pretty quick, anytime you say anything like this, the nation roars. The nation's minority roars.
Yeah. It was all women that I saw. I didn't see any men say anything.
But I don't see any belittling or derogatory statements in this.
No.
Like, honestly, the way the Lord instructed it was that the male is supposed to be the leader of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And they're supposed to give a spiritual covering. And
he used the word homemaker, and that made people mad.
Yeah. I did a wedding once, and I won't say which wedding for sake. Some people like their weddings talked about, theirs, some don't. So I just say I did a wedding once. And there was a statement from the bride in the rehearsal dinner when she was in tears, that I think for one, it can test to how well her father raised her. But two, I think it can test to the realization of spiritual authority and what it really is. Because to be in a spiritual authority over your house and to be a leader of your house is not dictator. It's not chauvinism. It's not, I just boss my wife around or anything like that. That is what the enemy wants you to think it is. But she made this statement during rehearsal dinner. She was in tears as we was practicing the walking down the aisle and who gives this woman away. And it's the first time I ever heard it mentioned like this is, let me see here. I think I said, who gives this woman away? And the father said, she gives herself away. And she puts herself from my spiritual authority into his spiritual authority. And she's crying, and she says, this is probably one of the most terrifying things about this wedding is I'm leaving the umbrella of my dad's spiritual authority and coming under. She said, it's exciting. But it's also one of those things that's like the realest thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was an understanding of what spiritual authority is. And there was an understanding of the covering and the protection that comes with being under godly fathers and being under godly husbands.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it was beautiful. And it was beautiful to her, and she was excited. Like, she wasn't like, I don't want to do it. Like, you know, it's just, it's the realization of it. And I think that there's such an ideology in the world today that's perpetuated by really, I would say, I mean, I'm just going to kind of call for what is demonic spirits that says, I don't need a man or I don't need a woman. Like, you need each other.
Yeah.
100%. And we have different roles and we have different callings and we have different, like, it's okay. Like, we don't have to be like each other. And because God's created us.
I think that's the thing. Ethan and I were talking about this on the road when we were driving, is like, the biggest problem, one of the biggest problems, is that they don't value their own role. They think that their role isn't significant as the other role.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't find the blessing and the significance in it. That's the problem, is they want to be the other because they don't think that there's a significant, which is a lie from the enemy.
Yeah. Well, I think it's because we find glory or honor. I'm going to continue to use the word glory, but glory means honor. We find glory in our own successes. And we're validated or substantiated from successes that we have produced. But the honor that we find should be honor in serving the Lord. Mm-hmm. And because the world don't know the honor of serving and laboring and being His, and the glory that is to be a godly wife and to be a godly husband, the glory to serve and the glory to the honor that we receive from just being with Him, we don't know that. Like, you know, the New Testament talks about the glory of the woman is her hair. But what does that really represent? It represents covering. That's why she didn't cut her hair. It was not just so it wouldn't be lustful or sexual insinuations or anything like that. The reason the woman was not cutting her hair was it spoke of her covering. She was under a covering. And she was basically saying this: the glory of the woman in this area is to be totally okay with the role that she's supposed to play. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And she finds that glory in being with her husband, and the husband finds the glory in being with his wife. Like, it's a beautiful thing when we find a wife.
Yeah.
But when we talk about this, what happens in situations like his is everybody comes out and they feel like if they ever was just a wife and a mother, they don't find glory in that anymore.
Mm-mm.
Because the world's not applauding them. And what they have, and so now they need to do things to substantiate them. They need things to bring them glory. They need to do things to prove their worth.
Yeah.
And this is the cat dog chase that we've been having. And this is probably the issue with society in America anyways. And it starts to breed more than just what's happening in our families and in our marriage. This is why churches are in competition. This is why businesses are cutthroat. This is why now the little man and the customers are getting walked on, because it's all about who can build more, buy, 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 sell, 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 make more money. And everything that we've done, we've found to try to find substantiation or glory or honor in our successes of this lifetime. But Jesus says what? If you build up treasures on this earth, moth and dust will eat it away. But when we start to think eternal, then we start to understand what is sustained glory and what's sustained honor, and what will I receive rewards for in glory. Because this is probably, this what's manifesting here is a greater underlining issue.
Mm-hmm.
Is that we're seeking the things of this world.
Yep.
And this is what I've been trying to say when I've been preaching and stuff like this, is even the church is there. The church isn't living for eternal rewards. We're living for temporal gains.
Yeah.
And we think our church is substantiated or proven or validated or however you want to say this based upon the numbers and the success of our programs. When really a church is successful when we're starting to build eternal rewards and winning souls and discipling people, not just bringing them into a church house and giving them a coffee.
But first, healthy when we're raising godly families. When we have a godly family that's serving the Lord, because that's our first ministry, and children are a legacy, and that is eternal, is raising them up to continue keeping the legacy going. Because the problem is, a lot of families in the church are focusing so much on, even in the name of ministry, building ministry, but then their children are like the sons of Eli. and they're not having a legacy to go on. It's just about what they can do for the kingdom. But that was never what the Lord intended. He intended us to pour into the next generation, and it starts with our family.
Yeah. Amen. And I think the question's got to shift to, where do you find glory? Like, where do you find honor? What are you doing? Like, what propels you to do? What substantiates you? And my validation, my affirmation comes from His presence, not the applause of men. And I think that's what we got to go back to. I think we have to redefine in America what successful is.
Yeah. I definitely used to have this mindset. I mean, I truly believe the Lord plucked me out of the path I was on in my career and everything to put me in a place where my heart is being checked and my values are coming back to His values, because if you start chasing the American dream, it's very easy to fall into this.
Absolutely.
And it's very easy for your priorities to start seeking what is not the Lord's values. Yeah. And when it comes to seeking your own success and basically everything we've been talking about, but that is not the Lord's order, and it is all about self.
Yeah. Well, we're going to read our first trivia question of the morning, Friday question number one. Who said, "Is this thy voice, my son of David?" Who said, "Is this my voice, my son David?" 270-257-2689. All right, we are back here on this beautiful morning on the neighborhood here in the Box 2 Radio Studios. Pastor Dwayne Kidd got that right. Saul, 1 Samuel 26:17. Who said, "Is this thy voice, my son David?" Amen. Congratulations, brother. Pastor Winkie, get your name in for this two-week drawing. It will draw not this Friday, but next Friday. Amen. Well, Miss Hannah, you ready to take us off in the Kingdom Corner?
Yes. I'm flipping there, getting there. Okay, so I'm in Psalm chapter 1 this morning. If I can get my page flipped there. Okay, so Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And I could go ahead and read, "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish."
Amen.
And, you know, this goes along with what we're talking about earlier.
Amen.
Because the word of God, His law, is what keeps us walking in the right way. It's what keeps us from these lies and deception of the enemy that ends up creating chaos and confusion that makes no logical sense.
Amen.
But here, I love verse 3 when it says, "He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers." And this kind of verses that this took me to as well is Proverbs 11:30. "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Whosoever captures souls is wise." And then Psalm 104:16. The trees of the Lord are watered abundantly. The cedars of Lebanon that he planted, in them birds build their nests. So these were verses that I kind of went to when reading this psalm. And here I believe that we are the trees. This is what the Lord kind of revealed
Amen.
To me, is that, you know,
Amen.
The Lord plants those trees, and he watered the trees of the Lord are watered abundantly.
Amen.
So we should be watered abundantly with
Amen.
His word. We
Amen.
Should be watered abundantly with his presence and the living water,
yes.
because actually the living water and the river is symbolic for the Lord and his presence. He refers to himself actually in other psalms as the living water. He is
yes.
the living water.
Amen.
And the question is that the Lord was speaking to me is, are we prospering or are we withering away? Because we're all trees.
Amen.
So what's the condition of our, what is the condition of our tree, of our life? Are we withering or are we prospering?
Amen.
Because God's trees are watered abundantly, and we should be watered with the word always, so that there is yielding of fruit, because there is no yielding of fruit without the water. When we are a flourishing tree full of abundant life, we can provide for others. We can provide a space for those birds to come and to find shade. And Amen. When we delight in God's word, this portion of scripture tells us we will be the prosperous tree, and we will be securely planted by the streams of living water, which is the Lord. We will be planted and rooted in the Lord. And it also took me to, normally I don't jump around in scriptures, but it took me to, on Kingdom Corner, I do in my personal time, but in Jeremiah 17:7-13 says, the one who trusts in the Lord will be planted in the presence of the Lord by the water. Their roots will be spread out. They will not fear when heat comes, and their leaves will be green. They will not be anxious in the years of drought. They will not stop yielding fruit. The Lord searches the heart and tests the mind. He will give each man according to the fruit of his doings. And so here, just further look into this, that the Lord is that living water. That this is why when we are watered, when we're abundantly flourishing, that when the drought comes, when the anxiety comes, we won't be anxious. We won't give in whenever these things happen, because if we're a flourishing tree, we're already prepared for the drought.
Amen.
And so God's people will be prepared as long as we are watered with the word.
Amen.
As long as we are being filled continuously with his presence. And it's just a beautiful picture. I love how the Lord uses imagery and nature and
Amen.
All of these things to explain to us what we need to do and why his word is so important to us.
Amen.
So, and I do want to read this too before ending this. So this says verses 5-6. I think this is verses 5-6 of Jeremiah, because it's not Psalm chapter 1. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes his flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. He will not see when good comes. He will live in the dry places. So,
Amen.
I thought that that goes along with this as well.
Amen.
So that's the Kingdom Corner this morning.
Amen. And I like the term about his leaf shall not wither. I said the Lord wants us to be an evergreen. And, you know, he wants Gerald to be an evergreen, green all year long,
all the time.
You know, I mean, with life. You know, other trees, they lose their leaves. They're not evergreens. But the Lord wants me personally, I mean, I'll take that, he wants me personally to be an evergreen, green all year long. You know, I've always got life.
Amen.
All right, well, that's a good corner. That's a good corner that Amen. We are supposed to be a. The kingdom of God starts out as a small seed, but it should grow into a big tree.
Amen.
And we do have, you know, I think sometimes, and I've talked about this quite a bit, we think we just sit back and God just does it all. We have a responsibility to let the kingdom grow in our life, to add some water to it, to breathe on it a little bit, give the right atmosphere to the seed, because a seed, even if it gets proper water, cannot grow in improper atmosphere. So mm-hmm. what atmosphere we're keeping our seed in is a very big deal, because it takes the correct seed in the correct atmosphere with the correct water to flourish and to germinate. And so if we got this seed in our life and yet we keep exposing the seed to poor atmosphere, what we're listening, what we're hearing, what we're watching, where are we putting ourselves? If we're not feeding this seed with the word of God and prayer and evangelism and fellowship and iron sharpening iron, and we're not going forth seeking the face of the Lord with our face like flint, this seed won't grow. And that's
where we won't be an evergreen.
No, I mean, and this is what's happened in the church is that
Amen.
Literally we'll get born again and then be the exact same person 30 years later. We've not grown. We've not matured. We've not done anything for the Lord. We've just sat in our pew saved. And it's because we're not getting our seed in the right atmosphere and pouring the water jug over the seed to make sure it's growing. Because anybody who's pursuing him, if you're born again, it starts out small, but the kingdom in our life should grow really big. And as Hannah was saying, the birds of the community, the birds around us find nest in the leaf so that's hanging off of our trees.
Amen.
And so it's what the Lord has called us to do. And he uses that parable a couple of times. I think he does it in Luke and Mark. And it's always spoke to me significantly, because if I have the faith of a mustard seed, then I can say to this mountain, be thou removed. But the problem is, my faith is not always supposed to remain the size of the mustard seed. Mm-hmm. That's just saying, even at inception, when we're first born again and my faith is small, I can still move mountains.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you look at the apostles, their faith by the time they died was changing the world. It wasn't just moving a mountain.
Right.
It was changing the world.
Amen.
And so you just show the growth of where they were. So. But you've heard from Brother Gerald. You heard his voice. How are you doing, though, Brother Gerald? Doing well?
I'm doing well.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Brother Ramsey, how you doing over there?
Hey, I'm doing all right. I'm just thinking about a couple of things on both these verses. Jesus said, except the grain of corn die, it can't produce. You know, the corn, the grain has to die, and then it begins to produce. And I was thinking about the leaves. Isn't there a scripture that talks about the leaves being for the healing of the nations?
In Revelation, there
right.
is, yes.
Yeah.
Right. So I was thinking a little bit different lines on some things,
Amen.
But it's all good. So,
Amen. Wow. Amen.
Meditating on those things this morning.
Amen.
It says that his delight, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night.
Day and night.
Day and night.
That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, Isaiah 26:3.
Amen.
So, every time I hear the word day and night, I just want to sing the song. Day and night, night and day.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. But everybody usually, well, that's the first time he's ever said praise the Lord as I was singing. Thanks, Brother Gerald.
Amen.
It's a first today. Oh. All right. My kids don't like me to sing in public, I don't think. I embarrass Eliza, my little girl, because my singing. But I don't care. There's a little boy at the school one time. He was singing during class or something like that and at his desk. And somebody comes up and said, you're going to have to be quiet. And he says, no one's going to stop me from praising my Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, all that's required is a joyful noise, so, you know, you can fit in that category.
Absolutely.
Thanks. Thank Absolutely. You. Thank you. This is encouragement this morning, man.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm Jason Crabb. All right, let's go.
there you go.
It is good to be with you guys. It's good to be in the studio. It's always a good time to be with you all out Amen. There as our listening family. Yeah. We've loved the Bible questions that have come this week. We appreciate them so much. It's been some really good questions. We've had a lot of great discussions. A lot of them has come back to, and it's funny how you get these ebbs and flows a little bit, but we talked a lot about angelology and talking a lot about Nephilim. Somehow we've got back to there. We always go back to there and sons of gods and all these things. And so it's been a very interesting week, and I've enjoyed these conversations extensively. And if you want to continue with your Bible questions, 270-230-6337. If there's a topic you want us to discuss, for example, like one of the first things we did when we came back on here, and I took Khalid as host of this broadcast in the morning, one of the first topics they wanted was alcohol in the church. Well, guess what we eventually did? Alcohol in the church. Mm-hmm. And talking about the different views and what's a scriptural precedence for that. One of the questions, we've done questions such as, I'm leaving a cult. How do I honor my parents while leaving the cult? We've done the question of, if I won the lottery, or if somebody in our church won the lottery, should the church take the tithe off the lottery? Like, these are all questions we've covered on here. And some of them seem like, oh, what's that got to do with it? But I think all these questions are questions people have. Mm-hmm. So I only throw those out there to say this. There's no question that would be too dumb to ask. And there's no question that's too... There's no dumb question. The only dumb question is a question not asked. That's what they used to tell me in school. So there is no question we would not answer. That's as long as it's like PG and appropriate. Because I know some young people out there may be listening. I'll get him on this in Song of Solomon. Song of Songs here. And so I just want people to know that, because sometimes people think, well, this question's too easy to even ask, but they're not. Like, we would be shocked how what we think everybody else knows, so we're not even going to ask because we're going to look kind of silly. you'd probably be surprised how many people don't know the answer to that question either.
I've got a question, if it's all right.
Sure.
Why would Americans use a Latin word to describe something that in English is so clear what it means? And the word I'm thinking about is fetus.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Latin word. And why do they use that word when it's so simple and easy? It's a little child or a baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why did they start using that word?
Well, I think because the word fetus carries a connotation that it's not alive. It's just a body. It's just a figure. Like, and for the pro-choice people, for that movement to do it, you're going to have to convince people that thing inside of you is not alive. And the fetus carries that connotation. It's just a group of cells. Because I think the definition of fetus is a group of cells, isn't it?
No, it's a little child.
The definition, the actual definition of fetus?
Yes.
Okay.
Look and see. I mean, that's what it said on YouTube or Google. I Googled it.
An offspring of a human or other manual in the stages of prenatal development that follow the embryo stage.
Right.
And so it's basically saying it's a developing baby that's not alive yet. It's still developing. And I think that's what they want. That's why they're using it. It's all about persuasion. Because you're not at this issue like Ronald Reagan. I think it was Reagan. I hope it was Reagan who said this. I'm trying to work through my brain here. I think it was Reagan who said abortion was kind of becoming on the scene a little bit more prevalent. And mm-hmm. he said, let it be safe and let it be rare. Because, and what he means by that, and I'm not even for that. I want total, you know, I'm a little bit different on that still. But you take that when it was the introduction to where we're at now, to where we're literally, if a baby is born during a botched abortion, we're going to let the baby sit on a table and die.
Right.
And so you saw the extremes.
Right.
So if we think of these things, if they let us think of them as babies, we're never going to let a baby do that. But we'll let a developing fetus do it because
right.
it's different.
See, that's the whole thing. They use this word because the word fetus almost sounds like something nasty. I mean, real close to feces, you know, that's nasty. Get rid of it. And they do that because if you say baby, get rid of a baby, you know, inside of a human that has a conscience, no, you know. And there's so much against it, and that's why they use it, because it's so much easier to go ahead and do it, kill the baby, because it sounds like it's something nasty, and, you know, it's really, you know, man, it ain't no good.
Yeah.
So a lot of these definitions say unborn offspring.
Yeah.
Right. And what's an unborn offspring?
Yes.
They're trying to use all, I do agree that they want to use scientific words that don't connotate any emotion of attachment to a person.
Yeah, absolutely.
But why do Americans that speak English have to use a Latin word to describe a baby?
Well, I think we use a lot of Latin words, like excruciating is a Latin word, excrucion, and so it's the same word. We do a lot of Latin words. American language is actually very much derivative in a lot of areas from Latin, but I do think though that it is all about the emotional detachment from
exactly
because the fetus is a developing baby. Membrane of cells.
Baby.
That's what I'm talking about, the definition of what.
Right.
And so you get people to think along the lines of, well, it's developing, it's not real yet, it's only in the prenatal, it's not out here, it's not alive, it's not breathing. But yet, if you watch an ultrasound of a baby during an abortion, and I have, we had to do it in college, and you watch it, when they shoot the saline salt into the baby, you see the baby's hands cringe, you see the baby's mouth open in the womb and look like it's in screaming, excruciating pain. This is why now
they're at least trying to get ultrasounds in every abortion center because they want the baby. Like, a lot of states are making it law, or at least trying to make it law, to where the woman has to watch an ultrasound of the baby they're about to abort because they want to see that it's alive, that it's moving, that's kicking, right. Because they're actually persuaded a lot by people on the left and the pro-choice movement. It's not alive. Its hands are not moving.
Right.
There is
right.
no emotion. There right. is no feeling. It's just a fetus. Right. It's just a developing group of cells in your body.
Yeah.
And this is where this is why they use that word. I really do feel like it is. And go ahead.
Have you heard about that? The scientists have found that when the egg comes together, that there is a little flicker of light. Have you heard that?
What was that again?
When the seed and the, well, the sperm, when they connect, that there's a little flicker of light.
Hmm.
Our Sunday school teacher, he found this. I'm not sure how, but anyway, that whenever the seed, the sperm merge, there is a little flicker of light. So life begins at conception, with beyond a shadow of a doubt. Life begins at conception, because scientists have found out that when they connect, there is a little flicker of light.
And in the heart, the first thing that's formed in the baby, it can't grow, you know, if it don't have a heart. And so it grows from the beginning. It grows and grows. I can't understand how I can say it's you know, it doesn't, it's not living.
Right, right. And they Janet Porter with the heartbeat bill, as soon as you can hear a heartbeat, there's definitely life. And, you know, they said abortion stops a beating heart. And she used the other side of that, a beating heart stops abortion. So when they just getting the heartbeat bill passed, trying to in every state, if they could hear a heartbeat, they could not do abortion. They had to let the baby live. So,
well, I'm looking it up, and Dwayne Kidd mentioned something too. I mean, Reagan's view on abortion was you know, different. Was similar to ours. Reagan was a pro-life person. I'm trying to figure out. So Bill Clinton, I know Bill Clinton used the phrase safe, rare, and legal. But somebody, I feel like, coined it before Clinton did. Somebody said it before Clinton. Clinton just made it popular. And I'm trying to figure out who said this before. I don't think it was Reagan either. Now that I've said this, that's why I backed off and said, I don't know. I'm trying to think here if it was or not. Because actually, Ronald Reagan is probably one of my favorite presidents. I don't, you
oh,
know.
Amen.
Yeah, Reagan was one of my favorite. But I can't remember. Bill Clinton made it famous. We know that.
Right, right.
But I'm not saying I agree with that statement. I was saying, look how far we've come with
right.
the thought of abortion.
Oh, my
like,
Lord, yes. Oh,
to
my
where
Lord,
it
yes.
was like, yeah. even in the party of the left, like Bill right. Clinton's the first one to really use that in the sense of, you know, safe, rare, and
right.
legal.
Right.
And they're. And now it's like all out. Like there's no, you know, California's basically saying, hey, your state's made abortion illegal. Just come do it. We'll even pay for it.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, it's the value of life.
People's jobs, I'm not going to mention the companies, but pay them to, they pay them as a leave to go get the abortions done. Mm. So they pay them as they're doing that, and then when they come back.
Right, and Brother Aaron's talking about how far we've come. There's a paper on the desk out there in the lobby about Bill Maher mm-hmm. and abortion. Have you seen that statement?
I don't think so.
Yeah, and he said he thinks it's all right.
Mm-hmm.
He said, yeah, it's killing it, but we have 8 billion. You know, you're not going to be missed.
Yeah. Well, I think that's because of the value of life. We've become desensitized to
yes.
the value of life,
yes.
and we're so accustomed to seeing murders and loss, and we have such a judgmental view about life a lot of times, and yeah. and so You know, it is a abortion is something that even the church has accepted at this point for a lot of right. a lot of churches. A but, lot of churches accepted it, and we're going to keep making a stand against it because we believe in life. Right. But I say this too: pro-life does not stop when the baby is born. But pro-life, and we can't be pro-life without being pro-adoption. We can't be pro-life without right. getting better foster care. We can't be pro.
Amen.
It's all together.
It's all
and,
together.
And the church's responsibility Amen. Was to take care of the widows and the orphans.
Yeah.
And we've got to do that better. And yeah. And so my plea is this: keep preaching with all of your might
Amen.
against abortion,
Amen.
100%.
Amen.
And I understand different people, like Brother Ramsey and Miss Ramsey's probably not going to do this at, you know, their young stage of life, but they're up their years. But if you're younger, and you have the ability, don't just preach against abortion. Open your home up to foster care. Don't just preach against abortion. Think about adoption. Like, you know,
Amen.
This, and I'm not trying to tell you have to do it. Maybe you can support a family that is going to be foster
right.
parents or
yeah.
adoptive parents.
Right.
And maybe you're at that stage in life where you're like, I am, Brother Ramsey, do you care how to tell how old you are?
74.
74. At 74, you're probably not going to open your home up to foster care. But you can be very supportive of the other ones who are going to do it. And this is where if the church of Kentucky, like if you only knew how many kids are in foster care in Kentucky right now that's in really bad homes, that's in homes of people they don't care about them, or in group homes where because they can't find a family to take them, if you only knew how many kids were there.
Right. Right.
Think how big the church is in Kentucky.
Right, right.
We wouldn't have an issue with foster care Mm-mm. if the church would step up and take care of children.
Mm.
Like, we wouldn't have that problem. And so what I want us to do as the church is let's be as aggressive and continue to put our foot to the metal in abortion, because we've made great strides with Roe versus Wade getting overturned. The Supreme Court justices are asking for us to somebody bring the 2015 Adderfold case to the counter so we can look at same-sex marriage. Like, let's do it. Like, their Supreme Court justice has said, let us look at this again. Like, somebody bring this. It's time for us to do it, because we made law there was no law for whenever we instituted same-sex marriage. And so now they're saying, like, we need to look at this ruling again, because this precedent that was set could have been wrong.
Absolutely.
And so
they should not be allowed to adopt.
Well, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just marrying in general. Like that, the
right.
Supreme Court justices are asking to look at that ruling from 2015. But I am saying, like, if the church cannot just stop at fighting abortion, we have to fight for life after birth too. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so we have to be ready to adopt. We have to ready to foster. We have to be ready to take care of kiddos in really bad situations and rough lives and given a tough card, because a lot of times we may be screaming, don't abort, and they're not aborted, but they're living in complete chaos and turmoil.
Yeah, and drugs has ruined so many little lives. I listened to a testimony a week ago. A guy was about 43 years old. His mom and dad both on drugs, and his dad left when he's a little child, not much more than a baby, I don't think. And he said, every man that come along said, his mom, she loved him. He's better than anybody in the world. And then when he left, the next one come, and whenever one of them comes, she said, this is your daddy. And he said he didn't know how many daddies he had, you know. And he growed up in total confusion and a mess and drugs and alcohol and all that. And he said that when he was 13 years old, he was rebellion and had long hair and everything. And said he was him and a guy he thought was his friend. They went out to a park or something, and the guy rubbed his long hair. And he said, what's going on? And the guy did it again. And he said, there's a rock on the ground. And he grabbed that rock and he beat that person. He said he thought he killed him because he didn't think he was breathing whenever he left. But the guy lived. And his life was just trouble. And, well, he got on drugs and everything too. And I think he was 43. And he said he had spent 20 years in prison in that life. 3 years here, 2 years there, a year here, a year there. But he had spent 20 years of his life in prison, a total mess. And he come to the point in 2020.
I've got to go to break. I'm over break.
Amen.
Sorry, I got to get to break. But Friday question number two, sponsored by the Sicilian Bank. Or this is Higdon Land Surveying. Sorry. Who died in giving birth to Benjamin? Who died in giving birth to Benjamin? 270-257-2689. We are back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.
Right.
Well, Brother Ramsey, what's new in your world? I feel like I never really hear from you much.
Oh, well, I stayed busy doing nothing.
I still got to come get those ties.
Oh, I wish you would.
I wish I would, too. I got to make time for it.
Yeah.
I'm just, it's always running somewhere.
I'm always meditating on the Lord and thinking about Scripture and things, and I enjoy that. I enjoy the Lord on my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's one thing that a lot of people probably don't do enough of, and I'm myself included, is where we just kind of meditate and think on the goodness of God and clear your mind a little bit.
Yeah, I was thinking on your sermon Sunday, you picked out four. I don't know what you called them. What was that you called?
Inhibitors.
Inhibitors.
Yep.
I picked out one when you said that. I said the woman with the issue of blood. I had that one picked out.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, we talked about how there's things that get between us and the Father, and they inhibit us from getting in the. It's kind of like this. A lot of times, the guy that was paralyzed, for instance, he was in the presence of Jesus because he knew Jesus was there, and he was in the same vicinity as everybody else who was in the room with Jesus. But his problem was that he wasn't in the room with Jesus until they cut the hole out of the roof, or really appropriately, they could have said more or less they dug a hole in the roof. And they dropped him through it down into the room. Then he got in the room. But a lot of people are content with just standing out the front door, knowing that Jesus is around here, but not being in the same room with him. And we let these inhibitors stop us from getting to the presence of the Lord and getting in the same room. So whether that's unforgiveness, sin, could be sickness or health, I think. And that's one of the reasons that a lot of people don't, is they let their health keep them from the presence of the Lord. And your health may prevent you from serving the Lord in some capacities, but it should never keep you from the presence of the Lord. We let also failure. I was talking about Peter. You never see Peter anywhere around during the actual crucifixion. Why? He was so embarrassed by his failure that he couldn't get around there.
Right. I believe that.
History tells us he was crucified upside down.
Yeah. But if you remember what Jesus said to the women before he left, they left to go tell. He said, make sure Peter is with you.
Yeah.
Yes.
And to me, that's just a beautiful thing. So we can't even let failure be the inhibitor that keeps us from being in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
There's a difference between religion and the gospel. Religion says, if you fail, run away and be scared. Mm-hmm. The gospel says, if you fall, run to the Father and bow, and he'll forgive.
Amen.
That's the story of the prodigal son, because the old religious brother, he got mad because his dad threw a party when the sinner came back. And so when the prodigal son came home and the dad gave him the ring and the clothes and the cow and the party, the older brother said, I've been here the whole time. Well, you may have been here, but you never asked for a party. You know, you just been here. And so...
But you know, there's something very important in that statement, though, Brother Aaron. He told the older son, all that I have is thine.
Mm-hmm.
He did not split it again and give half to the younger son. He didn't do it. He said, all that I have is thine. And because he already split it. And whatever the young son got, he worked for.
I like that marketplace where they went in and labored for a penny a day. Uh-huh. I told my daughter, I said, you need to read Matthew chapter 20, just a few verses. And they were happy to work for a penny a day till the others come in later in the day, and they got a penny too. And so they were beginning to moan and groan and complain about that. But
yes,
the Bible says, did not you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. But I promise you, the next day, that those guys that got there late,
got there early, or they got
they didn't get the same deal the next day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll guarantee you that. I mean, that day, he seen the need. Everyone had the need. So he fulfilled their need. But I promise you, that guy that got there last, he better be there with the first one the next day, or he wouldn't get the same deal.
Right.
Yeah.
I like that scripture. I like to read about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when you say you've been meditating on the Lord, what are you meditating on?
Well, I was reading Acts the other day and about the man that was healed. You know, they took him out there every day and set him at the temple, and they came up to the gate beautiful, and there's a prayer time. And so the Bible said, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have given to thee in the name of Jesus, rise. And the man, and then the Bible said that Peter took his hand and lifted the man up.
Mm.
And sometimes you can overthink things. And I'm thinking, why didn't the man not just get up? But Peter, I said to myself, there's something in this. I don't know mm-hmm. what it is,
right.
but I said, there's something in this thing right here. Mm-hmm. And so I meditate on stuff like that. I read, and I got some computer questions. I go 20 at a time, see how many I can get right. I like to challenge myself.
Yeah.
I like to challenge myself on the word, and I like to, if I'm talking to somebody and they say a word that sticks in my mind, I think, now what's the scripture that goes along with that? You know, I like to challenge myself, and so it's good.
Yeah. Yep. But there's something about God's timing, too, that Peter was the one the Lord used for that guy to get healed.
Mm-hmm.
How many times had Jesus been in now that temple and that guy was there and Jesus didn't heal him? So that's something to think about, is the timing, God's timing. Why did he save it for Peter? Well, because to get the church really started and get attention to the apostles, since Jesus had went back to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But you think about it. Jesus, he went in the synagogue and taught. And in the temple, wouldn't he be in the temple teaching Jesus when he was there teaching in Jerusalem? Wouldn't he been in the temple teaching?
He did go in the temple and drive them out.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
I don't know if I ever. Let's see. I'm sure he did.
You never thought about it like that.
Well, I never really thought about how much he taught in the temple, because the Pharisees and the Sadducees hated him so much.
Right. Yeah. But I'm talking about this one point.
Yeah. He definitely was in the temple.
Yeah.
Right.
When they left and they noticed that Jesus wasn't with the group, and they went back and they found him teaching in the temple.
At 12.
Yep. So how many times did Jesus see that crippled guy laying there at the beautiful gate and mm-hmm. didn't heal him?
Yeah.
Something about timing.
Interesting.
It's extremely important, you know, I mean, because when I get an idea, you know, and it's a godly idea, well, you know, Lord, why don't you do it right now?
Yeah, me too.
And I can't twist his arm and get him to do it until he gets ready to do it. So,
yep. Hannah, have you ever played the clock game of Brother Ramsey? Watch this.
Oh, I know that.
You come on, Brother Ramsey. You ready? 5:18.
Oh, I know that scripture. It's Ephesians 5:18.
Okay.
I know what I can't think of. I can't get started. See, it's like
put them on the spot.
It's like when somebody asks you, "What did the preacher preach about today?" When just as soon as you get out of church, it's like,
Brother Gerald, you got a 5:18?
Be filled with the Spirit.
Yep.
Is that what you're talking about?
Any of them works.
Right.
If you're working with Brother Ramsey and you see he looks over, sees the clock, and it's one that's, you know, you're not really going to have a 3:58, so unless you're
not.
Like Isaiah or something like that. But if it's a realistic time, he'll be like, oh, 3:11, this is John 3:11, and he'll just quote scripture based upon the clock. He does it all the time.
That's awesome.
I do it on my stove in my house. I still do it. I do it when I see one I know, I'll just say it out loud.
Yeah.
I enjoy it.
Amen. Yep. Amen. Yep.
Hide the word in your heart.
Yes.
And so, but Brother Ramsey taught me one of the most valuable lessons I've ever learned in the history of my life.
I didn't know anybody ever listened to me.
It don't have to be right. It just got to look right. He taught me that in construction. Because I've built several things with him at this point. He builds them, and I just carry the wood.
Well, somebody was carrying the wood out from the fence back here today, didn't they?
I did. And so, but it's...
Well, I've learned you could put a new front door in an old house, and if you put it level...
It looks wrong.
It looks wrong, so you got to go back and make it look right. That's why I say it don't have to be right. It just has to look right.
Yep.
See, I can build me a building and angle it one way, and people drive by and say, look at that guy. He made a way for that water to drain off that building.
Yep.
They wouldn't say I did it wrong.
What about 432 for the Ramsey?
432. Oh, I know 432. I know it.
We're putting him on the spot.
I know it. But
it's in Ephesians.
Yeah.
Be ye kind.
Yeah. Yep. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted.
Yeah, I knew that.
Forgive one another, even as Christ has forgiven you. Yeah. I knew it, but I couldn't get it all together.
That's one I memorized as a little girl.
Yep. Yeah. Brother Gerald, how about 416?
416.
Don't know.
This is fun. I like doing this to them because
right.
they've memorized more scripture. They forgot more memorized scripture than I've rememorized. Right. So it is fun. But it is good to be in the house.
Oh, what? 416? Be 1 Thessalonians 4:16. You know, that. Now I can't even begin.
Go on. It is hard when you're on the spot.
I think 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the right. things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are not, what is it? I forgot it, but anyway, that's part of it.
Yep.
1:16, last one.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of
Christ. Oh, yes, yeah. Absolutely.
That's it. That's what I was thinking of.
Amen. Yeah. Romans 1:16.
Yeah, I knew that one.
Yeah, yep.
Paul said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
It is awesome the verses you memorize as a child stick with you. Like, when you're younger, you soak up you remember things. They tell you to start things when you're younger because you remember it so well.
I took Bible memory in church, and we had seven verses a week for 15 weeks. And so that was over 105 verses that we learned through that time. And you had to say it right, and you had to tell where it was found. They didn't give you no leeway, which I'm glad that they didn't.
Right.
You had to say it just right. But let me tell you what happened. You could say as many verses as you want to on the first day. One lady came in there and said every one of them, 15 lessons, it's seven verses. She said them all.
Wow! Hmm.
Wow!
That make you think about it.
Amen.
Yeah.
I did mine seven a week, but I can read in my Bible today, and if I run across the verse that I've had, I know I had that verse, even though I didn't remember it.
Right.
So I love the Word. I love to.
Oh, amen.
I love to Lord grow in the Word, and I love to challenge myself. I'm not doing it for no one else but me
right.
and to the Lord. I'm not doing it to try to. Think I know something. I have a guy who calls me. He got converted a few weeks ago, and he calls me all the time. He asks me stuff, and he wants to learn. He don't mm-hmm. know anything, and yeah. I tell him. I said, "Well, I don't know everything, you know." And he said, "Well, you know a lot, so
you know enough. I'll keep asking you."
He calls me up, and I told him the other day about some scripture he was looking for, and I told him where it was at. And so I enjoy talking about the Word. I tell him. I say, I have to call you to talk about the Word. Mm-hmm. I just want to get to, I some days just want to talk about Jesus and talk about the Word, you
right,
know?
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't get that, you get kind of dry.
Well, Brother yeah. Ramsey, we need you to come up with a, which Miss Gretchen, I could get some from her too, but a list of questions, Bible questions.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
because it's hard to find them online. I've tried to look, and there's so many mm-hmm. easy ones, but you can't find as many hard ones.
You're talking about for your trivia?
Well, not right. just for the trivia, but for personal memorization.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. I've tried to find, Miss Gretchen must be coming up with them on her own because when you try to look online, I've looked for apps and things, and all of them are so easy.
Right.
There's not a lot of difficult Bible
I like
questions.
Them. Right. Makes me feel good.
I was in Owensboro Wednesday evening, and when you started service and you asked if they had a testimony, and Sister Gretchen was Second Corinthians 10:4-5. But 10:5, you know, she was talking about them being extremely important verses to her. But 10:5, I said, I quote that scripture more than any other scripture in the Bible. Casting down imaginations and every mm-hmm. high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know, it might be good thoughts come in, but if I'm reading the Bible or seeking God, and this thought, well, you know, I need to feed my horses. I don't need that, you know. I need to be thinking about the Lord and what I'm thinking about. And I cast down, it says imaginations. You know, can get us distracted from what we need to be thinking about. And I heard Sister Gretchen like that verse, and that blessed me, because as far as quoting a scripture, I probably absolutely quote that scripture more than any other scripture in the Bible, because, you know, I want my mind to stay focused. Just like Brother Dennis talking about Isaiah 26:3, that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me. I mean, if my mind don't need to be on these other things, if I'm not needing information or wanting information about other things, that when I'm really especially trying to stay focused on the Lord, well, I mean, the old devil, he's always in fiery darts. He's trying to get you distracted and get you off point. And but I loved that verse, and it blessed me to know that Sister Gretchen, she liked that verse too. So.
Yeah, she was talking about that.
Yeah.
We started a study on the Bible itself on Wednesday nights, where we're at right now, just studying about the Bible itself and
right.
how it came about and where we get it from, and it's been interesting.
Right.
And it's been really good for me to get back into it and study, and I actually learned a few things this time through. And I've been studying more into the Old Testament and how the Jews, they didn't really call it the Old Testament, they called it Tanakh. And
yeah.
and so I'm just kind of reading from that point of view of a Jewish point and how that came about and originated and stuff like that. And so it's been really interesting for me to get into this again, and I've appreciated the opportunity to do so and to teach it, because I actually think we have a lot of really bad ideas of the Bible mm-hmm. and where it come from and how it got here, and I don't think we have an appreciation for it as we should.
Amen. And can I say something there? Mm-hmm. The people talk about the Book of Enoch, and I heard you all talk about it, you know, not being in the Bible. Well, there's two lies in the Book of Enoch. I had never read it until about a year ago, and this young man got me a copy of it. And I read it, but there's two lies mm-hmm. in that book. And if God cannot lie, he's not going to put a lie in the Bible.
Yeah. So I'm curious your two lies you found.
Okay. The first lie was said in the 500th year of Enoch. All right. Enoch went to heaven at 360 years. And if you do from Adam to Enoch, it was like 640 years. So nowhere does 500 in the year in the 500 year of Enoch, there's nowhere Enoch fits in the term 500. So that's a lie. Mm-hmm. And then another lie was when it said that a bull was going to breed all these animals. I mean, like other species. The Bible says everyone after his own kind. So that's a lie. I mean, a bull don't breed a horse. It breeds cows. So that's a lie. So, and there might be more, but those two really stood out to me as pure lies, because I did a study on the numbers from Adam up to Abraham and the dates of when they were born and their father and all that. And so nowhere in the Bible does Enoch and 500 years fit. I mean, it's not there.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, we're out of time this morning. We're going to get move out of here and let Brother Bjork come in here. It went quick this morning.
Praise the Lord.
But we got Brother Bjork's on the hold. He's going to come back in here and teach, get a little science department. I'm not for sure if I'm covering this or if Jason's coming over still this morning. I know with the school thing. So we're going to be back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.